Thank you, Helen. My name is Brian, and I'd like to just echo the welcomes, and especially to David and Eileen, and to Cassie, who's just gone out the door because she wanted to sing it. We wouldn't have been bothered, would we? No. I'm going to try. I promised myself I would be very careful about very few words today, because last week I spent so many words, and actually too many words, and we start to get a bit deaf. So I'm going to do my very, very best. But it is my privilege to be able to speak on this amazing story, this amazing encounter that Jesus had with both a Pharisee and this lady that in my Bible, headed is called a sinner. I knew a young woman with a similar story in some ways. She tells an amazing story about being forgiven, how without any going to church, without saying any prayers, without having watched anything on a movie screen or what have you, she woke up one morning and feeling quite distressed, felt that it'd be very important that she pick up a Bible and read it. She would say that she heard God prompting her in an inaudible voice to go and find a Bible and read it. She had one. It was stashed away in the linen cupboard. It would have been one of those Bibles full of dust. And it fell open to the book of Revelation. And as she read there, she read about God's judgment on a world that is given to turn its back on God in its own sinful independence and declare there is no need of you. As she read, she was convicted of sin in her life, of those things in her life that were wrong, that were out of place, that were out of sorts, things that she regretted. And her natural response was, "Oh God, God help me, God save me." And as she prayed that prayer, an unschooled prayer, not having been a church person, she speaks of this clothing, as it were, from heaven, of a forgiveness that came upon her, that soaked through her, and the outcome, a very different young woman came out of her bedroom and got on the telephone to me, because this was my Jess. And on the very day that I was determining that we would separate, she met the Lord. And the Lord who forgives sinners. A stunning story. And so this is a special text for me, and I would say for Jess as well, because of our particular experience. I don't believe that the text is appropriately entitled when it talks about the sinner woman, because actually the story is about two people. There's a woman and a man. There's a Pharisee involved. His name is Simon. And he's the one who's hosting this meal, which would be like a banquet in a community setting with people coming and going. Yes, he would have invited some special folk along, but others in the community would have also come along and seen what they could have and share in the meal. And here is Simon, and he's a Pharisee, and he's done something which is a little bit controversial. He's invited Rabbi Jesus, this person who's causing a bit of a stir, to come to his meal. So Simon is there as a Pharisee, and a Pharisee, if you know anything about your Bible history, is someone who comes from the strictest sect, or one of the strictest sects, at least, of Judaism in the days of Jesus. The word Pharisee speaks about him belonging to a group that would say, "We are separate. We are a people separate and holy to God. We separate ourselves from sinners. Those there are the sinners, and we are the saints, I suppose. We're the Pharisees." And here he's invited Jesus to this meal as something, I suppose, of a, well, this will be something to talk about for folk that are coming along, and maybe we'll get to hear something about what Jesus has to say. But as we read the story about this man, Simon the Pharisee, We also are introduced to this woman who is referred to as a sinner, and in some of our Bibles they talk of her as being a notorious sinner. And we understand that she's a sex worker, and she's well known in the town, so well known by many that are there at this banquet, at this lunch. But the story actually isn't about Simon, and I would hesitate to say, but I don't actually think it's simply about the woman either. It's a story about forgiveness, about this thing called being forgiven, that is an experience that God would call us all to, and an experience that I think all of us, whether we're in the church or outside, long for, long to know. The text raises all sorts of questions. Too many for us to answer. I listed some of mine, and actually there are answers in the text here, but we just don't have the time. But what does it mean to be forgiven by God, and how do I get this forgiveness for myself? And do I have to be perfect to be forgiven? And do I have to be perfect to stay forgiven? And does forgiveness cover everything? Will I be judged in the future for my sin? And why is it so hard actually to embrace forgiveness for myself and also to extend it to others? And in the story that we read here, who is the one who actually goes away forgiven? The sinner woman or the pious Pharisee? Or maybe both of them? Lots of questions in there. So we could be here for a bit, but I won't do that. We'll just look at three. What is this stuff called forgiveness? And why was the woman forgiven? And perhaps not Simon, we'll go there. And what impact is there on a life that truly knows what it is to be forgiven by God? I want us to go back to the text. Think about the moment of tension. All's going really well. There's a good spread on the table. Simon is happy. He's got his VIPs there, and Jesus is over in that corner, perhaps. And you'll know, if you know your Bible, that in those days, they reclined for their meals. So they lay down at a low table with their feet behind them, and they kind of went around in a circle like that. And here, just at the moment when all is going so well, walks in this woman, and the tension is palpable, especially as she goes directly to Jesus and starts to touch him, to touch his feet. We read in the story some of the detail there of Jesus' experience, and I wonder, as I put myself in Jesus' position, how I would have felt. A woman, perhaps unknown to me, except we know that Jesus sees her heart. And she comes and she touches my feet. My first reaction would be, what would everybody around me think? What should I do at this moment? Should I be telling her off? Because I can see that she's causing a stir. And then she's starting to weep. And for Jesus, actually, it's got nothing to do with him, how wonderfully gracious he is. He's looking at the woman. It's got everything to do with her. What's actually going on in her life that she's weeping? And as she weeps and the tears are falling on his feet, she's wiping them with her hair as if it were a towel. And then she's breaking open this alabaster vial and she's pouring this perfume. So everybody in the room knows that there is something big going on here in this corner. And Jesus is watching, and Jesus sees her heart, and Jesus sees Simon's heart. And that's the tension where I'd like us to pause for a moment while I go back to my questions, my three questions. The first, what is the stuff called forgiveness? Quite simply, when God gives us forgiveness, he gives it as a gift. You'll know the gospel like me. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. With the gift of Jesus, we're given this gift of forgiveness. Nothing we can do to earn it or to deserve it. And this forgiveness covers all of our sin, both past sin and present sin and future sin. Because Jesus dies and takes our sin, all our sin, on the cross once for all and for all our sin. Therefore, when we read in the Bible about someone being forgiven, and here in this text about this sinner woman being forgiven, we must understand that God has given her something. We don't know when he gave her this forgiveness, because it happened before this event. She has come in and she's celebrating this forgiveness. She's worshiping and she's loving God for what he has already done. She's experienced something from him. Perhaps it was earlier that morning. Perhaps she heard Jesus preaching about the kingdom of God and believing God poured out this gift of forgiveness upon her, even as he poured out a gift of forgiveness on my Jess. And here she comes to celebrate it. We don't know the detail. What we do know is that she knows she has this thing, and it has an impact on her life. Why, though, does she have this forgiveness when it seems Simon the Pharisee does not? And I think the answer to that is simply that it's a question of our heart. Here we have a man who is a religious leader in the town, a significant person in the town. He stands out because even the dress that he wears is different to his neighbors. And it says very much, I am one of the pious ones, one who is committed to keeping God's word to the nth degree. Look at my life. I'm a good man. Here we have Simon, the good man, and he's looking at the story unfold before him, and his heart is aggrieved. For this woman is a sinner woman, a woman notorious, a woman with a great reputation, not invited, and see what she's doing, upsetting my guests. Look at the tension. Feel it. And what is Jesus going to do about it? If he really is a prophet from God, he's going to be telling her off. And he doesn't. And the deep disappointment inside of his heart, as Jesus is not anyone special, can't possibly be sent by God if he is accommodating this woman at this meal. Simon's heart is the barrier to this gift from God called forgiveness. And it's not because he's not a good man. He is a good man. And I think these Pharisees, they get a bad rap. These are good guys, and they hold to God's word, and they hold to a commitment to Father God to keep his word. But there's something amiss, because deep down inside of Simon, there is a theology, an understanding that if I am a good person, by some means, God will forgive me. If I am a good person, then he is pleased with me. If I keep God's words, I'm a good person. And because I do, therefore, I have his favor. Now, that thinking is not very difficult to come to. I think it's the most natural way that all of us think. I grew up in a home where I was the good boy because I would make sure to keep the rules, that conformist I was, that I would be there to please my parents. And it's not difficult to take that same thing and to project it onto God, that it's the good boys and girls, the good men and women, who have his favor and therefore his forgiveness and therefore the promise of everlasting life. But you and I know that the measure of whether I'm a good boy or Simon is a good man or not is not the comparison with a sinner woman or anybody else around the table or anybody else out on the street. For whilst we weigh up one another's sins, this is a really big one. She's notorious. And his are actually really quite small. Maybe he didn't tell the whole truth to one of his colleagues last week, or was it the week before? We compare, and we would say, well, therefore, he's the righteous one, and she's the sinner one. You can tell it just by the clothes that they wear, just by their bearing. But God is looking at our hearts. And in his heart, in Simon's heart, God is seeing a man who fundamentally is holding on to a pride that says, if I am a good person, God will favor me. And if you dig a little deeper in there, well, of course he'll favor me because I'm a good person. I do these good things and I earn his favor. She does these bad things, she will get her lot. She will have his disfavor. But God looks for a broken and a contrite heart. God looks for a humble boy and girl, man and woman, who actually sees their own heart as God sees their heart, as Paul speaks about it. Wretched man that I am, knowing what I'm capable of, knowing how I fall so far short, knowing how no matter how hard I've tried, I just cannot do this. I cannot be what he would expect me to be, what he would have wanted me to be. But there is one, and he is Jesus. And I come to him and I say, Lord God, forgive me, a sinner. Mercy me, a sinner. And there is the cue for this gift from God, which is given not as a reward, but as a love gift, a forgiveness of sin, all sin, once and for all. Measuring yourselves against other people does not compute with God's accounting. Measuring yourself against God, against Jesus, his son, I see how wretched a man that I am, and I come and I call upon him. Help, Lord, help. A heart that knows forgiveness is a heart that is changed, so much so. It is like a heart of this woman who would enter into this building not caring what anybody thinks, not caring that she would become a spectacle, but she enters the building to worship this Savior Messiah, this one who has spoken the words of God, that somehow she has received, that she has believed, words that having believed turned her heart towards this God whom perhaps she's been running from or felt too dirty to come anywhere near for all the days of her life. And turning and hearing and believing, he pours out this gift of forgiveness on her. And so her tears. And she's on her knees, as it were. And she's wiping and kissing his feet and kissing and anointing and loving. I think the lesson here in the text is that there is something so precious that God has for us as a gift, but that not every one of us can boast we have. I think the essence of our heart is to stand proud against this Lord, to seek to earn anything that he might have for us. And we find it very, very difficult to receive. I found it within my own Christian walk when I gave all my heart to following Jesus, that I wanted to be at peace with everybody in the whole world. I didn't want anyone to have any grievance against me. I packed Jess up in the car and we drove 3 days to South Africa, where we had lived previously, because there were some people that I owed money to, and I wanted to pay them back. And I wanted to go to them personally and say, remember what I owed you that I promised you and I never came up with the goods? Here, I want to pay you back. Will you forgive me? Because I'd sinned against you. And I wanted to come away with that forgiveness. And it was quite an experience because I did go and visit people and they were totally unexpected. And some, oh, what's that all about? Yes, of course I forgive you. And some, no, we don't even want the money. But there was one, and his name is Andy. And there's no Andy Baker here, is there? And I couldn't find Andy Baker anywhere in the world to be able to pay the debt that I owed him, which leaves this feeling of, well, am I at peace with everybody in the world? There is one. I believe God's word for us today is that which is in Isaiah chapter 40, as I was preparing to share with you about forgiveness. And the word in Isaiah is, comfort my people. And that's what I wanted to come to you with. God's comfort. Comfort, oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to them. Call out, your iniquity has been removed. Speak kindly, your iniquity has been removed. Last week and today, we're talking about encountering Jesus and how that encounter changes us because he takes away our sin. Here we find a man and a woman equal at the foot of the cross, entertaining Jesus, loving Jesus. And he is the one, seeing our hearts, who pours out this gift of forgiveness. I do believe she went away thoroughly forgiven, and knowing that gift on the inside stirred within her such a well-being and such a worship of the Lord. But I believe Simon in the text also could be said to have some forgiveness, have experienced some forgiveness in the story Jesus tells, in the bit of a parable Jesus tells. It doesn't say that Simon doesn't know any forgiveness. I don't know. But I do know that sometimes we find it extremely difficult to believe that he has forgiven us everything once for all. For forgiveness to happen, one has to not only be able to say, I'm sorry I did that to the one offended. And it's not just that the one offended has to say, well, I forgive you, here's forgiveness. We also have to receive that forgiveness for ourselves. And in this case, it's a gift given us by God that we receive by faith. And if you can receive this, as this woman received it, that he has taken it all away, and I did nothing to deserve this, then we can go into life and give the same kind of forgiveness to others. We can go into life, and as guilt comes knocking on the door, we can boot it to where God sent it when Jesus went to the cross. As we go into life, as Christians, the full Christian experience is there is no fear of an upcoming judgment. For I am forgiven all of it, past, present, and future. My dear friends, this gift is on offer to you and to all of those out on the street. It's given us that we can bring others and tell them about Jesus. It's for you too, and it's for you, and it's for you, and it's for you. It is thoroughly and totally liberating. And his word to us today, comfort, oh, comfort my people. Will you be sure that today your heart is rather like the woman's heart that says, wretched person that I am, and less like the Pharisee's heart that says, well, I'm not as bad as that, that you too might receive the gift of God. And in closing, how blessed, how happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How happy the person to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. It's all plain. See me, Lord. Lord, as we talk about this amazing story, we know that there is so much to this that we've yet to grasp, that we can't actually do this on our own, that we need a touch from you. Even so, whilst we might have known this forgiveness in days gone by, you know how weak we are, that we keep going back to try to earn it. And when we do that, our hearts get hard and cold. Lord, thank you. Thank you for forgiving our sin. Thank you that we can go into today a people forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.